And the rest of us, let's go to Luke chapter 17 this morning as we once again look into the word of the Lord together. Thanksgiving Day coming up. It's my personal mission to change the tradition of Thanksgiving to something smoked on the grill at every house in America. I think that'd be great. But I say do whatever suits your family well so that you could have fellowship and Thanksgiving together and look at one another and have joy in your hearts over the things that go on in your life and the things that the Lord has done. Thanksgiving Day first was held in 1611, if you didn't know. After the winter of 1610 had reduced the number of settlers from 406 people to only 60 people. That's a pretty dramatic loss in any community, if you ask me. It says they prayed for help and God answered in the form of a ship filled with food and supplies from England, and then they thanked him. They asked for help and they received that help and they were thankful. And in 10 years later, in 1621, another band of 46 Puritans and 91 Native Americans held a special day of Thanksgiving to praise the Lord for a bountiful harvest, which is what most people know about or have heard of. The previous winter had reduced their number from 102 to 46 in the community. It's pretty drastic, if you ask me. That's a lot of folks that once were and no longer are. And if you're like me, most people have at some point in their life lost a loved one, and it is a great deal of stress and things to come over, and it's just something missing in your life. I can't even imagine 102 people that you knew that once were there and no longer, all in a winter season's time, and yet they were thankful to God. You see, we all here know, I think we all know in this room, those of us who are Americans, who are believers, who are Christians, we understand that the ones that came to this part of the world for the first time to settle their homes here were believers for the most part, and everything they did was driven by their relationship to our Lord. And it was hard then. I went out on the porch last night at 10 something in the evening, and I could only stay out there for like 5 minutes. And these folks didn't have the luxuries that I have. And people died because winters are harsh. But God was faithful, and they were thankful. They were in the habit of being thankful because they had a relationship with our God. They knew him in a special way. And they never blamed him for the hardships. They were thankful that he was with them through all of that, even if the consequences of harsh living were permanent and hard. Our President George Washington called for a national day of Thanksgiving in 1789. Our President Lincoln established that the last Thursday of November would be the day of Thanksgiving in America, continuing with the relationship that our founding fathers and our forefathers had with God, to be thankful to him for the blessings that we all live in. And then Congress finally settled the day on the fourth Thursday in November as the official day of Thanksgiving here in this country. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that something to be thankful for? It's not that we should have to have a reminder, but the entire nation at the time, the entire community as it was, together decided that we're going to take a day and not just be thankful, but to thank God for all the blessings. Not just the luxury of being blessed and having things, but for the provision, for the protection, for the strength and the endurance to live in such a harsh world. This kind of thankfulness only comes from what we find in the Bible. in God's word. This kind of thankfulness only is produced in the heart of those who believe that Jesus is the Christ and that God, our Creator, wants to love us unconditionally, abundantly, nonstop, no matter what. Isn't that great? I hope that you all have plenty to be thankful for this year. I hope that you all are making the list in your mind of things that you can be grateful for toward one another, toward your family members, toward the community, here in the church. Because life is hard, isn't it? Just like the early settlers, the early community, we too have experienced some loss over the last several years as a society. Some hardship that we've never known before. It seems like our way of life is permanently different now. If we're going to be like those believers, and I think we should be thankful to God. Because He's still God. He's still on the throne. He's still in charge. He still knows about the things that are going on. He knows about the loss. He knows about the challenges. He knows about the stress levels. And yet He's still faithful. He's still with us. He's still our God. And we still have victory in His Son. Isn't it great? That's what American believers do. That's what the American national holiday of Thanksgiving was intended to be about. And no matter what any of the rest of our nation does with Thanksgiving, the believers need to maintain the purpose of this Thanksgiving so that we can say thank God for it all. I would encourage you to be that kind of person. I would encourage you to, if you're not living the lifestyle of Thanksgiving, let's consider some things as we read in Luke chapter 17 together. Because Jesus is preparing the disciples at the time for their ministry and their part in the kingdom of God. And He's teaching them one thing after the other about Himself and about the kingdom of God and what it means to be part of the kingdom of God. And He talks about these 10 lepers that He encounters. And as we're reading through this, I want you to focus on what can you do to be the one. That's the goal. That's the big idea. You need to be the one. We all need to be the one. Not number one, the one. See, God is number one, y'all. Y'all know that. I'm just wanting to be the one. Well, which one? All right, here we go. Verse 11. Let's break it down a little bit. Verse 11 to 13. While He was on the way to Jerusalem, He was passing between the Samaria and Galilee. As He entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met Him. And they raised their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So here it is, the scene. Jesus is traveling around as was His custom to go into the world and teach people about the kingdom of God and then eventually go to the cross, preparing the disciples to begin the church. And He starts teaching them this stuff about the kingdom, and they meet these lepers and they cry out to Jesus from a distance, because that's what you do when you have leprosy. It's a contagious, wicked, nasty disease, and there was no cure for it aside from Jesus. It was bad. You were outcast from society. You weren't allowed to be around anyone else except for another leper. There were rules in place to keep you separated from the rest of the world. It was a miserable existence. And they see Jesus and they cry out, have mercy on us. I remember as a young boy, me and my older brother and maybe sometimes my younger brother at the time, we would play this game called Mercy. It's what young boys do. We test each other's strength. And usually the older, bigger one wins, and it's always turns into some crying situation and somebody gets in trouble, and it's all fun and games till everybody gets grounded. But what we do is we lock hands and we just twist each other's wrists and hands until one of us cries mercy. That means I had enough, stop. Or some people called it uncle, cry uncle, you know. the same thing. We're asking for you to have mercy, because whoever has the upper hand, whoever has the strength to dominate, could decide when to stop or not to stop. And I had at least one brother that wouldn't play fair, because he thought it was funny. Which is his role as an older brother. I give him that. And I tried that on my younger brother, and then I would get in trouble. These guys are crying out to our Lord. They're crying out to Jesus. They've had enough. They've had more than enough. They've had more than they can handle of this disease. This disease has dominated their life and their existence, and they have no hope outside of them crying out to this man Jesus and said, "Have mercy on us. Please stop this." Keep that in mind, because sin, y'all, is a serious problem also. Always has been since its existence in this world, in the hearts of man, and it always will be until Jesus comes back, if we don't cry out to Jesus for mercy. If we don't realize that our sickness, in our sin sickness, the things that come into our hearts and our mind that separate us from God are just as bad, is probably worse than any kind of leprosy or other kind of sickness. And the only way to get mercy and to be healed is through crying out to Jesus. And that's where we thank God that we have the opportunity. That's what we just sang about, the cross. And when I evaluate what happened on the cross, when I survey that situation, I should see what I need mercy over. I should see what I need help with. And we have an opportunity to cry out to Jesus, not just to be saved one time and say, "I got my salvation," but every day cry out to Jesus in my helplessness. Every day cry out to Jesus for guidance and for the wickedness that's in my heart to be gone from me. It's an opportunity, thank the Lord. This is one of them Sundays where y'all are permitted to thank the Lord and say amen and hallelujah all the time. It's not going to bother me. Then we go into verse 14. When Jesus saw them, here's his reaction. He said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they were going, they were cleansed. Verse 15, now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And in verse 16, he says, he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him, and he was a Samaritan. Now, how many of y'all love it when you go before God with whatever your concerns or requests are in prayer, and you get an obvious yes answer? How many of y'all praise the Lord and love that? These people, these 10 people, are at the worst place a person can be in this world. They have no hope. They're totally disconnected from anything in life. Tortured in their lives, and they cry out to Jesus, having mercy on us, and Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest, which is what the command is, what the law says to do. For any miracle that happened, you go show it to the priest so they can sign off on it. That's the law, the Jewish law. So Jesus says for them to go do it, and they turn and go do it. And while they turn and go do it, they realize that the leprosy is gone. They are clean again. They have been healed of the sickness that was torturing them. Isn't that great? Can you imagine? Can you imagine any of us who have been sick or have had some kind of a injury or had some kind of disability in our life? Wouldn't it be nice to just one day, poof, it's gone? The worst thing in your life is sin. And the opportunity for that to happen to you is there if we just cry out to the Lord for mercy. Lord, help me with this. I cannot do anything about this. This is killing me. And we cry out to God, and he says, to go show yourself to the priest. The interesting thing is, it says, as they were going, they were cleansed. As they responded to Jesus' instructions is when they were cleansed, when they were healed. It's one thing to cry out to Jesus, but if we don't respond in faith to what he says, excuse me, the word of God, to what the word of God says, then we won't receive the blessing, because faith instigates our actions, which allows us to step in to the power of God. And these men, when they began to go and do what Jesus said, they were cleansed physically. The physical sickness was healed. How do you suppose they reacted, y'all? You would think that there was this big party, right? You remember the Fat Albert cartoons? When the Brown Hornet came on, like the whole crowd of them start running to the shack to watch their favorite cartoon. Hey, the Brown Hornet's on! And it would show them all just running like... You would think that's the way these guys would be, running back to Jesus, like, whoa, what happened? We don't know how that happened, but it didn't happen that way, did it? Verse 15, check it out. Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back. They were going to see the priest. They were going to show themselves to the priest, and he turned back. He didn't just turn back. He turned back glorifying God with a loud voice. It didn't look like this guy didn't see that he was healed, and he said, hold up, son, I'll be right back. And then start going up to Jesus. Hey, Jesus, I know you healed me. Thanks, appreciate that. That's not what happened. This man had this sickness, this torture was just instantly taken away from him. Totally changing everything in his life. Instantly. And his reaction was to run back to the one who made it happen. The one who had mercy on him. The one who had the power and the authority and the willingness to take it from him. And it says he went back glorifying God with a loud voice. He didn't care what he looked like. He didn't care what anybody thought about him. He just cared that Jesus had healed him and he was going to give all the glory to God. That's what believers do. That's what we do. That's what it looks like to be a thankful believer. I'm not even sure that we can be believers if we're not living a lifestyle of gratitude. Seems odd, doesn't it? He says in verse 16, he fell on his face at the feet of Jesus, giving thanks to him. This was a Samaritan. Wonder why they point that out. This is important to the disciples at the time, that it was the Jewish community who God picked out to be his people in the beginning. They weren't going to be able to hold on to their responsibility. They were going to fall short. Which is why God extended his grace to all people, the Gentiles alike. The gospel is not just for the Jews. The gospel is not just for the Gentiles. It's for anybody who would cry out to the Lord and have faith. And because of that faith, begin to respond to the word of God. You see how important all of this is. This is evidence of the truth of salvation. There's healing in salvation. All right, so he's falling on his feet. Do we live our life at the feet of Jesus, falling on the floor, face down in front of him in our prayer life? Does that happen every day? Does that happen every time things go on in our life, good or bad? Are we thankful to God? It's a little bit of work, isn't it? To maintain that, to continue to stay that close to God, that when tragedy happens or hardship happens or bad things go on or whatever the case might, even when sin comes into our life, that we can thank God that he's still with us and he doesn't forsake us and that he's never lost control of your life or mine. Where in the world would I be if it weren't for that? Where would you be if it weren't for God's faithfulness and love and grace and mercy and patience? I can't even imagine if the Lord would lose patience with me or you or us. How many times do we go through Thanksgiving and Christmas seasons and get so busy that we forget about all of this? And by the time the next year comes, we look back and notice that, wow, we didn't really take a lot of time to reflect on none of this. I hope that's not going to be the case for us today or this week or this year, because maybe the Lord would give us next year, maybe he won't. Maybe he's going to be back before then, right? We're not promised anything from God aside from salvation, aside from healing from our sin and his faithfulness. We're promised everything the Word gives us if we're acting by faith and doing the things that he calls us to do. But we're not guaranteed another day in this world, is what I mean. Let's finish this up. I know you're surprised by me saying that already, but we'll finish it up. Verse 17. Then Jesus answered and said, this is Jesus' response to this guy coming back, worshiping him and thanking him. He says, were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Now, you know, you and I both know that Jesus don't ask questions he don't already know the answer to. Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except for this foreigner, this one who's not a Jewish person? This one who God never gave the promises that he gave to the Jewish community until now? Look at verse 19. He said to him, stand up and go. Your faith has made you well. Wait a minute. I thought he was already healed when he went the first time. Wasn't he already healed from his leprosy when he turned and went in obedience to Jesus' instruction? Yeah. So what is Jesus talking about here? Jesus tells this man to stand up. Your faith has made you well. Not only was he healed physically, but now because of his gratitude and his faith in who Jesus really is and what Jesus did for him, he is made well spiritually. Which should make you ask the question, what does that mean for the other 9 fellas? They still were healed physically. It says they were all healed, right? It says they all got their leprosy taken away from them, and the one came back to recognize the one who healed, except for the 9 did not do so. And they didn't get to hear Jesus say to them, your faith has made you well. Jesus didn't say it to the 9. He said it to the 1. There's 1 that heard that in this case. The other 9, who knows where they went and how they went and what their problems were, that they couldn't take a moment and share some gratitude with the one who healed. How arrogant can we be if we live a life where we are not grateful to our Lord? How far away from God do we have to be that we don't every day fall on our face at the feet of Jesus and say, thank you, Lord? Because one day all this mess will be over with and I'll be with God for eternity. Or on the great days, on the days when all the blessings are coming and everything is awesome, it's the best day of your life. Thank you, Lord, I get to be blessed like this and I get salvation. There's always a reason to fall at the feet of Jesus in gratitude if we're believers. You see, these other 9 people, did they really believe who Jesus is, or they just believe that Jesus could do something? Because they heard stories about him healing. And once they got what they asked for, they're gone. Just like the many who Jesus fed, the thousands of people that Jesus produced a bunch of fish and biscuits for, and then they ate their fill, and then they left him because they couldn't take his teaching. So they'll take from Jesus, but they're not willing to give. And that's not what believers do. That's not who we are. That's not what Jesus died for. No one is going to become a Christian because of your witness if it's not filled with gratitude toward our Lord, toward our God. You're not going to be truly thankful for the people in your life, for the things in your life, for the things that go on in the successful things in your life, if you're not grateful toward God as Lord and Savior, as the one who loves you so much that Jesus would die on the cross. Can you imagine? Even if you or me, was the only sinner in the world, I have to believe that Jesus still would have went to the cross for me. That's how much God loves you. There's plenty of Christian folks out there, or people who call themselves Christian, who are the same as these nine guys that ran off and didn't come back. Didn't even cross their mind to be grateful. There's only a few believers who are like the one who worship Jesus, who worship God, who rightfully give thanks, who serve with their entire lives, their lives of gratitude toward our Lord. And remember, there's only the one who heard the words, "Your faith has made you well." This is why Jesus teaches that the road is narrow, the path is narrow for salvation, and few take that path. The road to destruction is wide, and a bunch go down that road. The world is teaching us, or trying to teach us, that we need to be about self and making self happy and serving self and being thankful to self for working so hard to make self great. The Christian life, according to the Bible, says recognize that God makes you great. Jesus died so that you can be what Jesus wants you to be, what he died for you to be. And that we, because we know that truth, we thank God every day. This is how these early settlers came into this part of the world, and they would lose the majority of their community and still sit back and thank God. This is how people can write songs like "It Is Well With My Soul." Because they know God. And they know that we don't deserve not even the smallest amount of his love. And we know that God has a plan for all of our lives, for the congregation here, for every church around the world, for the body of Christ. He has a plan. How can we not be thankful? How could anybody who says they're a believer, who really knows Jesus, how can they not be grateful? How can they not be living a lifestyle of gratitude? You know, the only ones who are genuinely saved will be like the one. So I'm just reminding you today. I hope I don't even need to remind you, but I'm doing it anyway. I'm just reminding you, let's just be the one. Let's just make it our mission, our goal, our effort, everything about everything we are, to be focused on being the one. The one who runs back to Jesus every day and worships him with gratitude. Who lead other people to do the same. You get to be the one because Jesus loves you. You all get to be the one. That's the amazing thing about the gospel. There's not just one. We all get to be the one if we choose to do so. This man made a choice. They're all walking together. And he saw that they were healed. He felt the difference. He saw that skin was repaired. It was all, who knows what if it was, must have been like new. And he chose to turn around and run back to worship and be grateful. He chose to do that. And this is the hardest lesson I've ever had to learn in my life, when it comes to being grateful and when it comes to being thankful, it is absolutely a choice. And this times it's hard, isn't it? Because things don't feel too good sometimes. And life gets dark. This is how Paul and the rest of the disciples are sitting in these dungeon-like prisons, and they're singing songs of praise to God in the middle of it all. Oh, if we could just be like them. If we could just be like those faithful believers. They're writing things in the Bible. If we read it, we'll find that these disciples and these apostles, they're all constantly telling the church, hey, I get to praise God because I get to suffer like Jesus did. Thank God I'm persecuted. And you read that and you're just like, what? What? They considered it a privilege to be treated the same way that our Savior was treated. Because they understand that what comes with it is the most precious thing in existence, and that's God's love. There's no more powerful love in the world, in all of this universe, in existence, than the love of God. I don't know why that doesn't drive folks to be the one. I can't understand. And then I say that, and then I look in the mirror on days, and it's like, why doesn't this drive you to be the one today? Until the Lord gets a hold of me and smacks me around spiritually and says, hey, what's going on? And you're like, oh, yeah. And then we run back to Jesus and we become thankful again. No, life ain't the way we like it all the time. No, things aren't pleasant always. No, the people that we love the most sometimes are the most difficult to deal with. But just think, if God didn't love us and he didn't send us a Savior and we were just without hope and then had to deal with all that. This is where we praise the Lord, y'all. I pray that this message is an encouragement to y'all. A reminder. Right? This is like the Christians, where the believers are about to go into the world this week and participate in Thanksgiving celebrations all around the country. We have an opportunity to show people what that is really about, if they don't already know. Maybe somebody's going to experience God and his love for the first time. Just because you're sitting at the table and you're eating stuff that you don't like or you do like, because Aunt so-and-so made it, and you're looking into each other's eyes, and in the middle of all your aggravation and frustration and family things, you realize that we actually do love each other, even though we're not all the same, even though I believe and you don't believe, or whatever the case is in your family. And you get to thank God that you have an opportunity to love people. You get to walk away from that situation and go home and thank God that you're saved. Thank God that now I got to go buy new pants because my pants don't fit because I ate too much food. Whatever the case. Thank God for pumpkin pie. Thank God everybody else likes sweet potato pie because I'm not eating it. It's just like that, y'all. Just make up your mind and just be thankful. I love you and the Lord loves you. Thank God for that. I'm thankful for every one of y'all. And I pray that y'all have a blessed Thanksgiving. If you don't know the Lord, you're not one of the one. You're not the one if you're not saved. I'm encouraging you to be the one. Starts with standing up and saying, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, if that's what you believe. Then you repent of being not one of the one. And then you are baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you receive the gift that God has promised us through faith in Christ. Are you ready? Let's stand together and we'll sing. If you have to make that decision, come down here.